Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
I'm reminded of a line from Batman, The Dark Knight, when the Joker character, toward the end of the movie, before he tries to blow everybody up, says, "And here we go." Because we're now just a couple of days away. The Super Bowl game is finally here. And can't get here soon enough, I think, for most of us, right?
It's been the longest 2 weeks in the history of the world.
It is every year. This is the fourth go-round for us in the 11 years that we've been doing Patriots.com radio. This is the fourth go-round for us in a Super Bowl over this time. Fifth go-round. We've had three championships, and one failure. That's right. Okay, so fifth go-round, because we actually started. We launched this right before the first Super Bowl.
What do you mean? It's the fourth go-round?
No, we won
three Super Bowls and then this year,
and
right?
then a loss in 07.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So this is the fifth time. Fifth to five.
Trying to keep 07 out of this.
That's right. Well, I know. I understand. I understand completely. But it seems like this year, for some reason or another, it's been longer than the previous four. And maybe it's just because we have selective memory or because this is most recent. But the fact of the matter is that, I think we're all ready to play football. So, and we're all ready to watch the game. We're all ready to get down to business. We're all ready to get to our parties. We're all ready to, you know, we're ready to do a lot of different things. We're going to touch on a lot of bases inside the playbook today. Sorry to mix the sports metaphors there, but it just seemed to be appropriate at the time. First of all, here's how you contact us on the show. As I know many of you know, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. The Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. 508-298-0398. Facebook page, John Rook, R-O-O-K-E, is how you spell the name. If you haven't submitted the friend request, do it! Because then we can chat some football, we can message, we can, you know, all kind of post, we can do all kinds of things. Not only during the show, of course, of which this is probably our next to last playbook of the season. Because obviously tomorrow's Patriots Friday programming here, the WEEI locally supplies, and then we'll probably do a wrap-up show, win or lose, at some point next week. So, and I'm not sure when that would be. I don't know if it would be Tuesday or Wednesday, but it will be next week. So this is, I think it's fair to say, our next-to-last playbook of the season before we reconvene again next fall, coming on for seasonal programming as we are. So submit the friend request, because that way we can stay in touch during the offseason and during the NFL draft and all that kind of good stuff if you have questions, because I'll be happy to talk to you about it. Love football. That's what we live for around here. And then, of course, if you'd like, if you tweet, you follow Twitter, follow me on Twitter, @JRook, J-R-O-O-K-E, 0722. @JRook, 0722 is the Twitter page, Twitter address. Follow me on Twitter. Now, I'm going to give you my prediction coming up in the game. I've decided I'm going to make a stand, decided which way I'm going. I will tell you that, in all honesty, I waited until this morning to start thinking about it. I'm driving in the car. I had a business engagement in Connecticut this morning. Yes, where all the Giants fans live. With the exceptions of the fans that called us last week here on the show. just thought I'd tweak your nose a little bit on that one. I was trying to decide which way I wanted to go, and I've had a series of events unfold throughout the course of the day, from about 10 a.m. this morning until about 1:30 to 1:45 this afternoon, right before I was on my way in here to the studio here at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough. It's unbelievable. I mean, things that are happening in all different walks of life, involving my life, involving some of the projects that I work on, involving some of the teams that I cover, my personal life. I got some big news earlier today that I'll share with you in a little bit. I just, honestly, it just absolutely has dumbfounded me. And so I'm thinking, I'm trying to look big picture. I'm trying to look long term. And I've decided, you know, all this stuff that's happening, I just can't ignore the obvious, because it's all in a positive sense. And I'll leave it at that. I'll leave it at that. So what I want you to do is I want you to fire up the email, hit me up on Facebook. You can certainly tweet as well. I need your game predictions. This is where we're going to do it, right here, right now. What's going to happen in the game? I need a score, who the key player might be, who the unsung hero might be.
Who's your MVP?
Who's your MVP going to be? Attaboy, Matt. I like that one. That works. Tell me how you think the game's going to break down. You know you want to talk about it. You've been trying to hold it back in for fear of jinxing something one way or the other over the course of the last few days because it was just too early to really talk about. So now's the time. This is it. As I said, this is our next to last playbook, most likely for the entire season until we meet again in the fall. So now's the time. Webradio@patriots.com. And hit me up on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. It's going to be a long off season. So let's chat. Let's go. Let's do this. Ken Palmer from Giants Insider is going to join us in 35 minutes. And we're going to get our last look-see into the enemy sidelines. And we'll get the latest on the Giants as well. Russell Baxter, ProFootballGuru.com, who has joined us each and every Thursday throughout the course of the pro football season. He will join us in our second hour of the program today to break down the game. And then we're going to share emails. We're going to share tweets. We're going to share Facebook posts. We're going to share a little bit of everything here. And then we're going to get to it. I'm going to save my pick for last. Or I'm going to save my pick for a little bit later because, like I said, I want to share some information with you as well that's come across me today. And I know many of you, when you follow me on Facebook as well, and we share football stuff and other life happenings on the Facebook site, I just thought I'd save it for that because, it's some unbelievable news today for me. And so, anyway, we're going to share that on in a little bit. Mary Beth from Syracuse, our friend from Syracuse, tells me that after much conversation and thought, my son and I are going to watch the game at home and not have to worry about snow predicted for the Ohio area, which is where they'd have to drive through on Monday. And the money saved will go to his student loan. He had a 4-year scholarship, but is getting his master's this year. This way we'll actually get to see the game and all the pregame from Patriots Web. All right, so that was the question yesterday. We were wondering if Mary Beth was going to get to go to the game with her son. They decided to watch it at home. I can't say that I blame you, Mary Beth, to be quite honest with you. It's a stiff nut to crack, tough nut to crack, but I certainly understand that, certainly get it. You're going to have a good time watching it at home. We also promised yesterday some Super Bowl recipes for you for your Super Bowl party, and we're going to get to those coming up in a bit. Matt is getting those together for me as we speak, and then once I get them here, I'm going to share them with you here in the playbook, but for those of you that are on the Facebook page, I'm going to post them on Facebook, too. I'm going to share two or three really good ones. I'm going to post them on my Facebook page as well, so there's some incentive if you're not a Facebook friend. If you want a couple of recipe ideas for your Super Bowl party on Sunday, I'm going to post them on the Facebook page.
So far, we have the Redneck Eggs Benedict.
That really sounds good, by the way.
That was the one where the guy said he was the heart-stopping menu.
Yes.
The Buffalo Chicken Dip.
Yes.
And a personal favorite of mine that I call the furnace pasta. It's a hot pasta dish that you serve in the pan and you melt cheese right over it.
Nice. Okay, really good stuff. We're going to share those with you coming up. And then we're also going to go to Indianapolis for some interviews as well today. We're going to hear from Logan Mankins. We're also going to hear from Wes Welker. Wes Weckler, we're going to hear from him. And I think if we have time, Mr. Kraft, Robert Kraft, also had an interview session today with members of the media at Super Bowl 46, and I think we're going to take some time to let him chime in as well, considering, you know, the reason we're all here is because of Mr. Kraft. So I figured we'd try to work that out for you as well, and he does have some interesting things to say. I noticed up on NFL Network where Madonna is actually having her Super Bowl press conference. Is anybody psyched about Madonna at halftime? See, I have not heard one person, nobody has said to me at all, oh, I'm really looking forward to seeing Madonna at halftime.
I mean, maybe if this was like 1990, somewhere around there.
Well, because she was relevant in 1990.
Exactly. When was the last time she even released a song?
It's been a while. I mean, she's as old as I am. She's in her 50s.
I think it's going to be one of those all-time worst Rolling Stones type of.
Well, I got to tell you, you know, we had The Who, we had Bruce Springsteen. You know, Black Eyed Peas last year was
pretty bad. It was more of a visual thing last year.
I think The Who is a little disappointing for a lot of old timers. You know, Springsteen I thought was really good. I thought Springsteen was pretty good, and Springsteen's good anyway. You know, especially if you're a Springsteen fan. I know, I understand what they're trying to do with this, but I don't, you know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, an NFL crowd, let's face it, I know what our crowd is here at Gillette, and our crowd is a rock and roll crowd. Our crowd even, you know, sort of edges toward heavy metal a little bit, I think, and I think most NFL crowds do that. So to go for someone who's, you know, pop, who was really one of the great pop divas of our time and our culture, but really hasn't been relative music-wise in a decade, I'm kind of wondering about that one myself, I have to admit. I don't know if this is just a throwback to, you know, the 40 and 50-something crowd. I mean, my own son is kind of like, huh, what? And he's 16, the rookie's 16, and, you know, I mean, he's like, Madonna? I'm not thrilled about that. She's old. Almost as old as you, Dad. I know. So, I don't know. You know who would be really good? I wouldn't mind seeing this. They really should go back and if they wanted to really, I think, make an impact at halftime for the Super Bowl, I think you probably have to mix the genres. I think you have to go out and get your little 50 Cent or maybe a little Pitbull, and then you got to mix it and match it with someone like Bon Jovi.
Well, that's like what they did. I think the reason they have all these kind of duds on was because of what happened. What was that, 2001, right?
Yeah.
When they had the whole Janet Jackson with NSYNC incident?
Well, you're talking about, what's his name?
Justin Timberlake.
Thank you, Timberlake. And that was in 01, wasn't that 03?
I don't remember which one it was.
I think that was 03 when we played Carolina.
Might have been. That sounds more right. But yeah. I think that's, you know, they fear that because that was the last time they really mixed genres there.
Mm-hmm. Well, but, I mean, you know, I mean, do you think Madonna's going to, you know, bare herself, and you know, to everybody?
Oh, I hope not.
No, I mean, she looks pretty good shape for being in her 50s. I will give her that. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, your thoughts on the Super Bowl halftime? We can share that as too. We have not talked one iota about that, and she is having a big crowded press conference right now. So if you want to talk about that, we can talk about it. I'm not thrilled, but maybe you are. That's okay. Maybe you're a big Madonna fan, and that's perfectly fine. Not exactly my cup of tea, but, hey, yeah, whatever you say. Webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398. Jeff is in Bristol, Connecticut. Jeff, you're in the playbook.
Hey, how's it going?
How's it going, Jeff?
Not too bad. Sad that this may be my last call, man.
Well, we hope that it won't be, but yeah, I kind of get it. You know, I mean, this is sort of the byproduct of what we do. We try to get here first, right? And then once we get here, and once we finally get to the almost day, for us it's sort of the penultimate day here, then it's kind of like, wow, then it's just going to like drop off. And we are going to do a wrap-up show. We're just not sure what day yet next week we're going to be able to do it. It depends on the, you know, whether or not we have a, you know, big victory celebration or not. And I don't want to jump the gun here. I don't want to jump the gun. Not like Chris Canty did for the New York Giants, right?
Exactly.
All right.
We don't want to jinx anything.
No, we're not jinxing anything. All right, so what do you think, Jeff?
All right, so here you go. I got 2014 Pats.
So you're going the low scoring, and honestly, that seems to be a bit of a trend by some of the national pundits. Tell me why you're tending to believe it's going to be lower scoring.
I was going higher at first, but then last night I rewatched. They replayed the game. From earlier on in the season. So it was good because I had a time. I've been, you know, over the last 2 weeks, been listening to everybody talk, you know, about pass rush and our weak secondary, and, you know, it kind of just repeats itself. So it was a good chance to kind of take all that in and then rewatch it with that in mind. And the more I watched that game, the more clear it was that, to me, both sides have a really great pass rush.
Mm-hmm.
And both quarterbacks don't do so well under pressure. Both Brady throwing off his back foot and Eli Manning throwing off his back foot when they're coming under pressure and they're backpedaling, both weren't looking too hot.
Mm-hmm.
But would have had a lot more confidence in Brady in that scenario a few years ago, but in his age, and I don't know if maybe it's confidence issues with the knee and maybe some other injuries that we're not as aware of, but it was more clear to me, and there were some really lucky catches. Welker made him look really good in a few instances, and I realized if they keep that pressure up, and I think it's going to be likely, just because of the hype and the adrenaline going, they're good, and I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt and say they're going to play stellar, that, you know, he's going to be on his toes, and or not on his toes, really. He's going to be on his, throwing off his back foot a lot, and he's not going to be making as many completions as we would typically see from him. And I think from a clock management standpoint, you know, we want to keep the ball out of Eli's hands because I think they're going to be throwing it a lot more than we anticipate. And if that's going to be the case, then we're going to want to run the ball a little bit. And mm-hmm. we're going to want to try and control that clock to keep the ball out of Eli's hands. So those two factors, for me, kind of lead to a lower scoring game.
Okay. I like your reasoning. I think it's pretty sound, actually.
Yeah, so... that's why I'm thinking lower scoring game. And MVP, I got two that I'm kind of hobbling with. First one, I'm going maybe not total throw you for a loop, but may not be everyone's first choice. I'm going Aaron Hernandez.
Okay.
And then second, I'm going Tom Brady for a third time.
Right. Yeah, that would certainly
relap.
Yep, put him on a big pedestal. There's no question about that. I like the Aaron Hernandez pick because it seems like, you know, the Giants are going to do whatever they can to take Gronk out of it, whether he's injured or healthy or whatever. And frankly,
exactly.
I think he's going to be fine. They'll needle him up. They'll do something to make sure he's not feeling any pain. He's got the whole offseason to rest, and I have no fear that Gronk Gronk is not going to be available. He's going to be available. He's going to play. And so
totally.
if the Giants try to take him out, I do believe you're right that leaves Hernandez as a possibility. We could see Hernandez in the offensive backfield as we've seen him recently. We could see him lining up in the slot. We could see him out of the tight end. We could see him in a lot of different places. Guy is
exactly.
super versatile, and I think that there's an opportunity that's going to be there presented to him to be a star.
Totally, and I think the media has been definitely playing in our favor in that. You know, I think with the added press, you know, there's just so much attention on Gronk right now. Not that by any mean that translates into the Giants' plan and that they're, you know, not looking at Hernandez. You know, I would never say that. But
sure.
I think, you know, it just kind of helps. He's a young guy. He's only 22 years old. So I think it does help, although, you know, he is still getting a lot of press. He's not getting as much, I think, as if the combination were still healthy together. They'd be looking at them more of a package, and there'd probably be a little bit more attention. So this way, you know, just for, you know, emotionally, I think getting prepared for the game could be helping him. You know, as a Bristol boy myself, I would love to see him get an MVP. So
Of course. I think that's a good pick.
Yep.
Mr. Hernandez being the Connecticut nutmegger. So I think that's a great idea. Great idea. All right. So before I let you go then, Jeff, what are you doing for the game? You going to a party? You hosting a party? What are you doing?
I can't wait. I'm going to be going to my cousin's place up in Bristol, Connecticut. Big, big Pats fan as well.
Nice.
There's going to be about 10 to 15 of us. He and his wife do a great job of throwing a game. We've got, I was talking to you earlier on, maybe 2 weeks ago when the whole Connecticut debacle was going on.
Right.
And so, to my chagrin, we will have some Giants fans there. I think we're going to have two. I know, which only goes towards your point, so I hate to give you that one. There's a couple points for you. So I think we're going to have two there. But just to show you how serious we take this, John.
Okay.
We are going to have, we have three TVs in three different areas.
Right.
have one upstairs,
mm-hmm.
which is like, you know, main area with the food's going to be and everything. And then we got one in the man cave where he just got like a 65-inch brand new. It's supposed to be gorgeous. I can't wait.
Nice. Yeah.
So, and then we have a replay zone set up in his office, which is like off to the side down in the man cave, where he's got like a 32-inch setup where you can go for any instant replay action.
Nice. So if you want to go replay a play, you're going to go away from the main monitor and go to another monitor to replay it.
Exactly.
That is brilliant. Brilliant. I love that. That's great. That's an awesome idea.
It happened, actually came to fruition a couple years ago, you know, when there would be some things that we'd want to see where, you know, be like, oh, how are you not showing a replay on that? And then so
you do your own replay. I know. That's great.
Yeah, yeah. So we set it up, and that's going to be the setup. So I'm imagining there will be a little bit of division. You'll probably have some Giants fan on one floor and the majority of us on the other. So he'll be by himself, or he and she will be by themselves. But yeah, and I'll be, you know, jumping back and forth from the replay zone to the live action, and that's, I can't wait, man.
That's absolutely brilliant. Oh, you have to drop me a note on Facebook or something. Let me know how it turned out. That's great.
Yeah,
love
yeah, definitely.
That.
I'll try and get some pictures, maybe send them through you. And,
that'd be great. Good, no. Great fun. Jeff.
All right, John.
Have a blast. Thanks for the prediction.
All right, you too.
You got it. Jeff in Bristol, Connecticut. How are you going to spend the day as well? And your predictions. Come on, we got to do it now. Web radio at patriots.com. The Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398 is the number. This is it. Put up or shut up right here, right now. Brian sends me this note on Facebook, and he says, my prediction is the Giants beat the Patriots 38-27 with an MVP performance from Jason Pierre-Paul. My heart loves these Patriots. They are winners to me either way, but my head thinks they desperately need a quick-footed Gronk in the blocking game. Giants' red zone offense has become extremely aggressive. They will spread it out and not submit to that superb Pats red zone D. I don't believe there will be any picks, so I will take a Chung forced fumble to push the tide of this game in the Patriots' favor. So go get them, number 25. But Brian says Giants win 38-27. Wow. Okay. See there, there's somebody who's a Patriots fan who's picking the Giants. Do you agree or disagree? Hey, you know what? It is what it is. That's perfectly fine. And I know we have Giants fans listening and taking part as well, you know, from here and there and everywhere, probably mostly in Connecticut. Ah, just kidding. But, you know, I get it. I get it. And I appreciate the fact that you're trying to think with your head over your heart. Nothing wrong with that at all. It's what we try to do around here almost every day. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Melvin in Tennessee, you're in the playbook. Hey, Melvin.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man. What's up?
Not much. Just calling to say my opinion. I'll say, of course, and not this is not speaking from a Patriots fan standpoint, but I still think that the Patriots have a better team. I'll say about 27-24. And almost to the fact of opposite of how it is last night, I think that the Giants will be able to do it. Things like everybody else, they'll be able to move the ball, but the Patriots defense will stand tall in that red zone, and they end up with just an average output of just 24 points. But and I see the Patriots, you know, coming down and scoring more touchdowns, and the Giants converting more on field goals.
Okay.
I think that they'll be able to move the ball. Of course, like to be honest, like a lot of teams have been able to move the ball. I'm looking at this game kind of like Alex said, though. I think this defensive back here has seen this. They've seen this before with teams like Pittsburgh and teams like the even Cowboys. I just see that. I feel like that they'll be well prepared, and more importantly, just like everybody else, the Giants are a good team. But the Giants now, from watching, they're becoming too cocky, and that's what's going to come back and haunt them. Kind of like I would say the 2007. Patriots, I mean, those things become too cocky, and then it's always a shocker.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the Colts were too cocky when they played the Saints. And this, everybody talked about the Steelers last year and got smacked in the mouth by the Packers. So I like being on this side. I just feel like the Patriots are a better team, and they'll almost be able to focus on the State Gronk too much. They're leaving Wes Welker out, and that's where I'm going with my MVP.
Wes Welker, okay.
Wes Welker's going to be my MVP. Like I said, I think it's going to be almost reverse. It'll be the Giants will come back and tie the game. Our Patriots fans' heart beating extremely fast. It's about 24-24, like a minute 30 to go, and Tom Brady move them down, wind the clock all the way down, and kick the game with a field goal for a 27-24 win.
Interesting. All right. 27-24 Patriots, and Wes Welker is the man at the end of the end of the end of the day.
All right. And I'll be watching this game. Unfortunately, I'm in Tennessee, and you know, everybody's a Peyton Manning lover around here. So, you know, I think I have to drive 3 hours to find three Patriot fans that I can sit around and watch the game. So I probably drive Memphis, you know, and I can sit down there and analyze. And I think who will be an unsung hero in this game would be Mark Anderson and Ninkovich. I cannot guarantee it. I think they'll be huge out there for some pass rush. not really, maybe not sack him in, but getting him uncomfortable in their pocket. I really think he'd be uncomfortable in their pocket. And, you know, I think they'll be fine. And do you think that they'll have a chance of, you know, I've noticed the Giants games, you know, they run a lot of slants. Do you think that they'll be switching from that 4-3 back to kind of a 3-4 to kind of have a lot of linebackers and stuff standing outside for those if they're going to run that zone?
Well, frankly,
I've seen that a lot. The crews, they do a lot of drags and slants.
Yeah.
You know?
Frankly, you know, and that's actually interesting. I don't know that we'll actually see that because I don't know that the Giants want to give up any potential rushers in order to be able to cover the middle. But, you know, it does kind of make some sense, doesn't it? Knowing that the Patriots are not really a deep team. They're not an over-the-top team. They're not a sideline team. They're a middle-of-the-field kind of team. And so because of that, if you're clogging the middle of the field, you'd have to think that you're going to at least allow your front three in this particular instance to make some headway, right?
Right.
Well,
I think so.
That's an interesting scenario. It wouldn't shock me to see them drop somebody back in coverage. That's actually an interesting point. That could be a little bit of a wrinkle that someone like Perry Fuel will throw at the Patriots. I'm going to watch for that. I actually kind of like that. It's the first time I really thought about that this week, but you know, it makes a lot of sense. Like I said, the Patriots try to funnel everything to the middle of the field. They don't go sideline. They don't go over the top. So how best to, you know, cause the Patriots to do something that they're uncomfortable with than by clogging the middle of the field.
Right. And I think we could see it from, us too. You know, I think we should line the wheel for you exactly right over the centers, because I think that'll give us a lot of room for Sparks to get in there with the long body to bat down some balls. And
yeah, yeah.
They're going to be focusing. They're going to be focusing solely on Mr. Wilford. I think that's why I think that Mark Anderson, which I think is an unsung hero, because he hasn't played as much as
Andre
Carter was prior to this. But man, I know he has a lot of stats.
He has embraced his role and into a full-time player because of Andre Carter's injury better than I think most anybody expected him to do. He was going to be a third down, you know, specialist, and now he's had to come in and play all downs, and he really has fulfilled that role very, very well. He's one of the guys on this team, as you suggested, Melvin, that has stepped up when he was asked to do so.
Yeah, he's been a huge part. So even when I consider, you know, watching back the first couple of weeks, I remember him seeing him getting in a couple of snaps, but whenever he got in, he made a presence. He was getting sacks. I mean,
he did.
San Diego games, you know.
Yeah,
so
right.
I think that they're focusing right down too much. And I think that even though the Ravens, I think that the Ravens defense, especially last week, was 10 times tougher than the Giants. I think, and the thing that made the Ravens so potent in that game was their defensive backs covered those vertical routes.
Sure.
Exceptionally well.
Sure, sure.
You know, so I think with that being said, I think the Patriots also, though, since they saw that last week, they'll probably break out of that a little bit. They'll probably break that. They'll probably try to go vertical and come to some ins and outs and stuff like that. And I think it'll be a whole different game. Speaking that we had Randy Moss back then, and we were carrying a lot of deep drops, but now we have so many options around the field, we can get the ball out a whole lot quicker. So I don't think that their pass rush will be as effective as it was in 2007, for sure.
Okay, I'm buying it. You're pretty sound with that, Melvin. It's pretty good.
Uh-huh. Okay, no problem.
Well, now what are you gonna do for Super Bowl Sunday?
I think that I'm going to go. Like I said, it's nobody around here that wants to. I have so many. I mean, the world has become the Giants. You know, nobody wants to. I can barely find a Patriot fan around here, so I'm going to go to the Patriot fans that I can find. They're going to be in Memphis. I'm in Nashville right now, so
all right.
I would drive 3 hours, and I'll sit there with all four Patriot fans with us versus the world that I see. You know, it's beyond real. I have a class like I'm in physical therapy, but my teacher's a Giants fan, and he was talking about today, and he was talking about Gronkowski's injury, and I say, yeah, and I was just saying, I was laughing so hard. I had a New York Yankees hat on and a Tom Brady jersey.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I told him I'm Bill Belichick playing nine games on him.
I like it.
You should have seen the look on his face. He was looking at the whole class period. But it was pretty fun. But I just think that, you know, more importantly for this, I think it's just a rematch of them getting too confident, and they're not going to be able to, you know, focus. I don't think they're as prepared as we are in the focus one time. At this time in the game, You know, I just think that every comment I hear coming out of their mouth, which I don't watch ESPN, they're just too confident, man. They're too confident, too cocky, and it's hard to beat a team twice.
Absolutely. You know what, Melvin? I would love to sit and watch a football game with you. I think that'd be a blast.
Man, I would love to. I can't wait to, you know, get done with school and I'll move up there with some.
There you go.
With some family, with some patrons, with some people that are sane. I can't live down here anymore. People are ridiculous.
I love it.
They're ridiculous.
Well, safe travels if you have to go to Memphis to watch the game, all right?
Yeah, it's sad, isn't it? Well, I'll be there soon, but you all take care.
All right, thanks, Melvin. You got it, you too. Melvin in Tennessee. What a good Patriots fan, huh? That's outstanding.
Yeah, Melvin's great. He, past couple days, he's been calling into just about every show.
He's dedicated, diehard. All right,
he's down there in no man's land though.
Yeah, I know he is. I know he is down in Titans country. All right, let's get a break in here, and then we're going to come back and continue with the phones. Ace Ticket Hotline 508-298-0398. Web radio at patriots.com. Facebook page John Rook Rooke. Prediction time, people. How's it going to end up? Who's your MVP in the playbook?
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
Gear up for the Super Bowl at the official team store, the Patriots Pro Shop. The Patriots Pro Shop and PatriotsProShop.com have the widest selection of authentic Patriots merchandise anywhere, from jerseys and sweatshirts to hats, game day party gear, and more. The Patriots Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Or shop online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
You're a business traveler who's flying away. You can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats, including legroom galore, to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
What do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature-y, right?
Yeah.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club story time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Love.
Love.
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice. And football. And baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
It's inching closer to the game day, and it's just wild. It's just a dream come true that we're going to be able to play in the Super Bowl. Just here as a team, we all got here together, we all worked hard, and everyone deserves that on the team. And
that's our boy Gronk. Sounds like he's ready to play, doesn't he? He gets asked the same stuff every day. He's handled it pretty well. You know, he's not going to tell you how his ankle is. That's just not the way they do it. He didn't practice yesterday. He may not practice today. I don't know if he'll practice tomorrow or even Saturday in a walkthrough. He's going to play on Sunday. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. I don't think you have to worry about that. Jonathan on Facebook says, John, if you get a chance, please read this on the air. Okay. Going to read it on the air, Jonathan. I've replayed this game 1,000 times in my mind every time we win. There's just this gut feeling I have, not just in my heart or mind, but with every fiber in my body, I feel this team is focused and loose and destiny is on our side. I have it Patriots 27-21. I honestly believe it. And one more thing, have you ever considered praying to God for the Patriots to win during a close game they were in? The thought has crossed my mind, but I'm afraid it's sacrilege. Well, I don't know that God really cares. I know that was an issue when we played Tim Tebow a couple of times this year, to be quite honest with you. But no, I haven't really thought about that. I think we all, you know, pray for, you know, things to happen from time to time because you just don't think about it, but you don't really mean it. At least I think this. I've got some friends that think like that. Jimmy says, my prediction is that Patriots beat the Giants 38-25. Dino, Patriots win 35-24. Big Vince and Spikes take care of the run. 49ers show us how to put Eli on his ass. Patriots will handle the pass rush with their healthy O-line. Brady needs to have the game of his life, and he will. Do they have parades for losing teams? If so, tell Canty where it will be. Ocho Cinco has his time to shine. Ocho Cinco gets MVP with a game-winning catch. I think you're dreaming, Nadino. I think you're dreaming. Mike says, I agree with the last caller. I think the Giants are starting to believe the hype, getting cocky, way too confident. Final score is going to be 27-24. Pats win. MVP will be Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. Running game will be a surprise, but not to me. All right. So far, that's kind of good. I like that. Let me get a couple of more here. Tim, the game's going to be won in the trenches. Pats are going to dominate on both sides of the ball. Nobody in the media has given either line more than a passing mention, and I love it. Nothing gives me more confidence than Mankins and Wilfork showing up with a chip on their shoulder. Belichick should have someone recording every segment of Marshall Faulk on the NFL Network. Oh, yeah. Okay, hold on just a second. Now the system's resetting on me again. Got to love this, right? NFL Network. Where are we here? And give the guys DVDs on Saturday. Just today, he said to ignore the fact the Pats D's improved lately. They're 31st for a reason. Moments later, you can dismiss that. The Giants' run game is rated last in the league because they've done it great in the playoffs. I told you people, Marshall Faulk is the worst analyst, number one. Number two, his agenda, he can't even hide. They only have him on there because of who he is and because he ran for a bunch of yards with the Rams. He's still bitter toward the Patriots in 2001, and the man will never get over it. So he's going to have a bias. So watch NFL Network at your own peril. The only guy on NFL Network that's worth a crap to listen to in terms of unbiased and actually sound thinking and analysis is Mike Mayock. That's it. There's nobody else. Everybody else has an agenda. Everybody else on that network has a bias. And the only reason I even watch NFL Network, and again, this is the NFL we're talking about, people. The only reason I watch it is because it's on all the time. And because sometimes ESPN goes off to do baseball and basketball. But if I want a football fix and I want a pro football fix, I'm going to the Pro Football Network.
The worst
but
is
I do not listen to their analysts because they cannot feign impartiality. They don't have any to feign. They just don't.
The worst and best is, I forget, I think it's that their playbook show.
Yes.
Or whatever it's called. When one time I was watching, they had Marshall Faulk, Deion Sanders, Michael Irvin, and Warren Sapp on. And the my IQ dropped like a full 10 points or so.
You know, big names, Matt. They're all big names, but they, you know, they have enough football knowledge to fill a thimble. And by the way, this is the original playbook show. Okay. This playbook show started before the NFL Network even existed. All right. You want the original playbook, the playbook? It's not on NFL Network. It's right here and you're listening to it. Tim says, Pats win 37-28. Weak secondaries, both teams. Brady sacked zero times. MVP is Tom. Regardless of anything, it almost goes all the way to the quarterback. Huge game from Hernandez. Receiving touchdown from Solder, he says. Halftime show is awful. Always is. I don't see how these sponsored by AARP fiascos they put out there every year is supposed to get any juices flowing for the second half. At least put something rocking and fast-paced out there, not some lame dance sequence lip-syncing mutton dressed as a lamb who doesn't know a pigskin from a cow udder. Oh, that's awesome, Tim. He says, by the way, Adam Schefter, who moved from NFL Network to ESPN, by the way, Schefter reports Gronk is expected to practice today, says team sources. It'll be limited. If he practices at all, limited. Limited. Adam Schefter, also a guest inside the playbook here on Patriots.com radio. Sam says, John, I haven't sent a message in a long time. Busy planning a wedding. Congratulations. Hope it goes well for you. Here goes. Here's what I'm doing in SoCal. I'm throwing a party at my place. About 10 to 15 people coming. Barbecue. I just got a 60-inch big screen. Only are the true Pats fan. The rest are Niners and Packers fans who do not want to see the Giants win. Ordinarily, they hate. Here we go again. Ordinarily, they hate the Pats, but they have united against the Giants on the account that the Giants beat their teams. My fiance, on the other hand, is a Broncos fan. She's from Colorado, so go figure. She's rooting for the Giants. She said she's staying out early because we are moving to Jersey after the wedding. My predictions, Deion Branch is going to find his Super Bowl form. I truly believe it. I think the Giants are going to think of him as an afterthought. That'll be a problem. Patriots win 31-27. That's from Sam in SoCal. All right. There we go. We got a ton of phone calls here. Let me see. I'm going to try to knock out as many of you as we can here. Start it off with Bill in Connecticut. Bill, you're in the playbook.
Hey, John. Great show.
Thanks, Bill.
Hey, just want to say a couple of things. One, I'm getting so sick of seeing the media give the Giants the Super Bowl trophy already. I mean, it's one thing that I hate to see it, but it's good because the way I look at Bill Belichick when he's doing his interviews and how relaxed he is, it makes me believe he knows something. I'm glad that the Giants are taking all the media attention and showing all this bravado because I think they're going to eat crow like Pete says at the end of the day.
Well,
I don't even think it's going to be close.
All right.
And I think why Bill is so happy or not worried as he sees is because finally the defense is showing some cohesiveness. They've played together for a few weeks now with the same group of guys. They're starting to trust each other out there on the field. And looking forward, this is not just a defense that's coming together this year, but looking at our schedule next year, we could possibly be in this same position again next year.
Well, they do have a little bit of a softer touch schedule next year already. I know we're getting kind of ahead of ourselves. All right, so, Bill, I need a prediction from you. Need a prediction.
Oh, it's going to be, in my opinion, 35-28 is only that close because the Giants score another touchdown in garbage time.
Okay, fair enough.
All right.
Thank you, Bill.
35-21 midway through the fourth quarter.
All right, very good. Bill in Connecticut. All right, hang on if you're on the lines. I want you to stay right where you are. Ken Palmer from Giant Insider joined us here inside the playbook. Ken, thanks for a couple of minutes. Sure appreciate the time today.
You bet, anytime. Good good times here in Indianapolis. We just got out of the Madonna press conference, so everyone's all excited.
Well, I was just going to ask you, I mean, what are your impressions on Madonna and the halftime show? I know everybody's just dying to get to it. Forget the game. We want to see if Madonna can still rock it.
I'll tell you, man, she was hot when I was younger, and she's still as hot as ever, man. And she did a little salsa there, kind of seeing how she'd match up against Victor Cruz, and she sure looked pretty darn good, I can tell you that much.
Well, I think you hit on the key phrase, when we were all younger. But you're right, she looks pretty good for someone in her 50s. I got to give her that. There's no question about that.
She's aged a lot more gracefully than I have, that's for sure.
Okay, that makes two of us, brother. And we'll move along to the next subject. All right, what is right now is issue number one for the Giants in your estimation?
I think, you know, it sounds funny, but I think overconfidence. And I know your last caller kind of touched on it. Everyone thinks the Giants are going to win this game, and that's not their usual position. You know, they're used to being the underdog. They're used to the us against the world, and I know the spread is what it is, but there just seems to be a general prevailing notion that the Giants are going to win this thing, and I think that's an issue. They really have to kind of guard against the overconfidence. I don't like the fact from a Giants standpoint, you know, they had the week off. Obviously, you can't help it. That's how the Super Bowl rolls, but, you know, they were rolling along perfectly. They won big game after big game after big game, you know, knock it down onto the next one, and now they got the week off. It's kind of a weird thing. And then, of course, you know, Bill Belichick. I mean, say what you want about the guys on his defense, but it's one of the greatest defensive minds ever to walk a sideline, and you're giving him 2 weeks. It kind of equates to, you know, I'm a Penn State guy, kind of equates to when Joe Paterno had such an enormously, tremendously great ball record because he had more time to prepare, and it's the same situation with Belichick. You're giving him 2 weeks now to come up with a way to kind of slow this offense down. So, to me, the Giants have a lot more to worry about than I think a lot of Giants fans think they do.
You know, I actually think that's a pretty good assessment because you're right. I mean, most of the people that I talk to kind of feel like, you know, they're Pats fans, but they're kind of like, man, I just don't know. I mean, you know, I'm really worried about that Giants front four, and that seems to be the general consensus here. And because the Giants did play, obviously gave the Patriots their only loss here during the regular season, I could see where some of these guys might be thinking, hey, you know what, we got this, and that might be a problem to deal with before kickoff.
Yeah, because, I mean, they lost a close game to Green Bay, then they came back and beat them. They lost a close game to San Fran and came back and beat them. But, yeah, they won in New England. They did the invincible, and as much as Tom Coughlin is trying his absolute best to not have anyone bring up 2007, he doesn't want it talked about. He doesn't want his players talking about it. He doesn't want his players thinking about it. And he sure as heck doesn't want the media asking about it, even though there's stuff that he could do there. You know, that's in their head, too. So they kind of have to feel like they have the Patriots' number.
Sure.
And, you know, it's just that's a tough thing to get out of your head as you know, mature, and as, you know, the coach can bang into your head time and again that you can't think that way. You can't help how you think. You think how you think. And these guys are most likely thinking, we're going to beat these guys because we've beaten them before.
Sure.
We beat them when we were a big underdog. We beat them in their own place. You know, they have to feel they can beat the Patriots. And, yes, that's a good thing. Obviously, you want to be confident going into the Super Bowl, but you know, they're in a rare position where overconfidence could be an issue.
Ken Palmer, Giant Insider, joins us here inside Patriots Playbook. All right. What kind of twist do you think Perry Fuel might be expecting the Patriots to throw at him? And are you of the opinion that he's the kind of defensive coordinator that can change on the fly if he needs to?
Well, it's funny because at times during the season, everyone would have told you no because he wasn't good at making adjustments and he wasn't able to do some things to kind of adapt to situations. But then all of a sudden, O.C. Manure comes back into the fold, and this defense hasn't been the same since. It's amazing how awful a coordinator Fuel is when O.C.'s on the sideline and how tremendous a coordinator he is when O.C.'s in the game.
Right.
So, I mean, the guy has shown that he can do some big things as a defensive coordinator. They're playing very aggressive. Obviously, the pass rush has been, you know, a tremendous thing, and that's how they've beaten Brady before, and they're under the old, you know, if it ain't broke, don't break it type of scheme where they're going to come after them. That's how they've beaten them in the past, and they're going to kind of dare the Patriots to block them. And, you know, if they're able to, of course, then that defense is going to be wide open for big plays against because they're not a good cover defense. They don't have a strong linebacking unit, but all of that has been masked lately because the defensive line has just been getting to the quarterback so much and also shutting down the running game. So I think they're going to go into the game with the same plan. And then if it works, obviously you keep rolling it. If it doesn't, then we'll have to see what Terry Fuel has up his sleeve. I mean, I'm confident the guy can, you know, come up with an alternate plan if need be, but they're hoping that that doesn't come to pass.
All right, so while we think of the Patriots, at least some of the general consensus means, or at least seems to be going along the lines of running some no-huddle, not allowing the Giants' defense to get off the field, make changes, what have you, you know, keep them from subbing in packages and the like. Conversely, how do the Giants, do you think, look at this offensively in trying to score against a Patriots defense, as we know that's done a lot of bending, but a lot less breaking later in the year?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Giants, there's no question, they're going to try and run the ball. And, I'm not, you know, breaking any great secrets here. They had trouble running the ball all year. When they run the ball, that offense becomes tremendously balanced and tremendously tough to stop. I mean, they've thrown the ball on everybody this year. Not almost everybody, they've thrown the ball on everybody this year. So to think the Patriots, who don't exactly have, you know, a top-tier secondary, are going to be able to shut those three wide receivers down and the tight end, I don't think it's going to happen. So what's going to determine this game, in my mind, the X factor, key factor, is if the Giants can run the ball or not. You know, because they've proven they can win and throw the ball even if the running game's not going, but going against a dangerous offense like the Patriots obviously have with Brady and crew, I think the Giants are still going to look to kind of have the same type of game plan they had 4 years ago. I'll tell Tom Coughlin I just brought that up, but 4 years ago they went into the game wanting to control the ball and keep Brady off the field, and that's exactly what they're going to want to do again. You know, run the ball, a short passing game. You know, the wrinkle this year now, 4 years later, is that they have more of a deep passing game. They have more dangerous receivers than they did 4 years ago. But ultimately, to me, the game plan is going to be as vanilla as can be. Let's just run the ball. Let's do some play action passes. Let's hit some medium passes. Let's move the sticks and let Tom Brady sit on the sideline and watch it all.
Sure. Ken, we've been asking, or I've been asking Patriots fans for their potential MVP. Who, in your estimation, would be a potential MVP for the Giants?
I would have to go with Eli. I mean, because they spread the ball around so much that it's unlikely that you're going to see like a 3-touchdown game from one of the receivers. You're likely going to see each of them catch a touchdown, you know, that type of thing. Hakeem Nicks has had a huge game, you know, in Green Bay, and then Victor Cruz rebounded and had a huge first half alone in San Fran with 8 catches. So, to me, I think if you're looking at a Giants victory and someone holding that MVP trophy after the game, it's got to be number 10 again in my mind.
I certainly would not disagree with that. But how about a surprise? Somebody you think that is poised, perhaps, to make a contribution that someone that we might not be expecting at this stage?
I'd go with Mario Manningham. Okay. This is a guy that's overlooked now because Cruz and Knicks are near Pro Bowl level. Yeah. But this is a guy that caught 60 passes last season. He's a big play guy. He's very slippery. He gets open. And, you know, if that defense overlooks him, Eli Manning has plenty of confidence in Mario Manningham. So if you're looking for an under-the-radar guy, that's going to be holding that trophy, I wouldn't hesitate to say that Manningham would be that guy.
Finally, Ken, is it absolutely crucial in your estimation for the Giants front four to put pressure on Tom Brady, or might we actually see, you know, somebody drop back into coverage, clog the middle of the field, because we know the Patriots are a middle of the field type of offense, in order to give him a little bit more hesitation, shall we say, from his own pocket? What are your thoughts there?
I think there will be times you're going to even drop like a JPP, and obviously Kiwanuka is a linebacker, but he's a DN by trade. He's going to be a big cover factor like Michael Boley. So there are going to be times where they're going to play, you know, that type of, you know, let's back off a little bit type of defense, but ultimately they have to come after him. They have to get him because their linebackers and their secondary will just not hold up all game long against the dangerous guys that New England has. So the game plan is just to come after them. They, you know, again, not every play. You're not going to, you know, throw the kitchen sink at them every single play. You're going to try and confuse them and, you know, be in better coverage situations at times. But I don't think, you know, you're going to see less than 50% of the time them just coming after them. Again, like I said before, that's how they've beaten them the last two times. It's mattered, and that's how they're going to try and beat them this third time as well.
Right. Everybody healthy by your estimation? Everybody going to go Sunday?
Yeah, the only question mark, and you know, he's a name probably a lot of Patriots fans don't even know, but Jaquan Williams, rookie linebacker, he made a huge play in overtime.
Sure did, yeah.
He's got a pretty bad ankle as well. You know, not nearly as important as Rob Gronkowski, of course, which by the way, Madonna said she would tape it up, shoot it up, and go play if she had a high ankle sprain. So
nice.
Not to put any extra pressure on Gronkowski, but she said she'd be in. So to me, that's really the only giant notable guy. The other guys that are missing are guys that normally miss. Ahmad Bradshaw hasn't practiced all year, and he's played just fine on Sunday. So Jaquan Williams, he plays that nickel linebacker in coverage, so he's helpful there, and he's been a big key on special teams. So he's a guy I would expect to play. But if he doesn't play, it can and likely will hurt the Giants.
Like that. A couple of South Florida Bulls in key spots for the Giants defense when you throw in, obviously, JPP as well, right?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I mean, Jerry Reese has some kind of pipeline. You know, he took a lot of heat. Well, obviously not so much heat about Williams because he's a lower-round pick, but they took a lot of heat for drafting Jason Pierre-Paul, and he's laughing all the way to the bank and laughing all the way to the Super Bowl.
No question.
Among this up-and-down season, and this has been a roller coaster ride for the Giants, there has been one single constant, and it's been Pierre-Paul, not even Eli Manning. Manning started off the year with an awful first six quarters, so you can't even say he was good all year. The only Giant this year that was good 16 games in and out was Jason Pierre-Paul.
I agree with him. I saw that when he was at USF, and I thought the Giants got a steal, and obviously he's proven that to be true. Ken Palmer, Giant Insider. Thanks for spending some time, Ken, and enjoy the rest of your stay in Indy.
You bet. I enjoyed it. Hope we get to do it again soon.
Would love to. Thank you, sir. All right, there you go. Ken Palmer from the Super Bowl in Indianapolis, the latest on the enemy sideline. Let's get to the phones again here because we've got some folks that have been kind enough to hang on. Serban in the UK is in the playbook. How are you today?
Hello, I'm fine. Thank you.
Thank you for
thank
the phone
you for
call.
Having me.
Sure, and thanks for hanging on. What do you think about the game on Sunday?
Yes, first I want to say that I'm original from Romania, so I'm supporting Mesko very much.
Nice.
Practically, he's the first Romanian-born NFL player.
Right, sure, absolutely.
But to be honest, I know about American football since like, okay, I don't want to say that, but since Super Bowl 31.
Right.
This is not a very good.
Okay, I'm buying it.
Practically, I'm a supporter of New England Patriots in 2001, since
okay.
That Super Bowl.
Yep.
And then since then, when I realized that Zoltan Mesko will... arrived to New England, I couldn't believe so.
Right. Well, you know, we don't want him to make too many appearances, though, in the game on Sunday, Serban, right?
I understand that.
Yeah, absolutely, because the less he's in, it means the better the Patriots are doing.
Yes. Anyway, I think he had a very good season.
Yes, he did.
The first one was good, but now I feel that he makes, like, a really serious team with Gutkowski, so... I'm hoping for the best, to be honest.
I would agree with you on that one. Do you have a score for us?
I wanted to give you my prediction.
Yes, do it.
It's a bit funny, but I was hoping for two things, or a 23-14 for Patriots, but with three touchdowns and a safety. All respect to Eli, but would be quite cool.
Well, I think there'd be a lot of Patriots fans that would like to see a safety of Eli.
But I have a feeling, and I will be really happy if it's happening that I have a feeling that we will win, but will be something like in Super Bowl 35.
Right.
I have a feeling that will be a kind of a shutout because I don't know. I think there was a guy before me, Bill, said that he has a feeling that media is like already thinking that Giants are, let's say, a better team.
Sure, sure.
Of course, they can't say definitely that it's a better team because our coach and our tradition it's clear that gives respect, so they right. can't say that. But I have a feeling that they think that.
Okay.
So
okay.
if it will be a shutout, then I will be really happy.
Well, I think we'd all be thrilled with that. Listen, all yes. it takes is one point. Just got to have one more point than the other guy, and we're in good shape.
Yeah, of course.
23-14. All right, I like that, Servin. Thank you. Appreciate it. Now, what are you going to do for the game on Sunday? The game is not going to be until, what, about midnight your time almost?
Yes, but so I'm a lecturer at the university here in North Wales in Bangor.
Okay.
And we have a student's American football team.
Right.
And we organize something to a pub.
Nice.
Every year.
Okay.
So I will join them.
Are you?
No, I can't wait.
Sure, I know. I bet you can. And I'm going to guess that you probably can't wait for the Patriots to travel to the UK to play again next year too.
Yeah. So for me, it's like now it's 8 p.m. I have quite a crowded family with two kids, and I'm helping my wife, but I have my headphones with Patriots Radio. So
you are a fan.
I couldn't help when I really wanted to call you guys.
You are a fan. Outstanding. Thank you for hanging on. And
thank you very much.
You betcha. And thanks for calling. Thanks for being a Patriots fan. Servin in the UK, United Kingdom. All right, here's Nathan in Southern California. Nathan, you're in the playbook.
John, how you doing?
I'm good, bud.
I thought I owed you a phone call. I listened to the playbook. I've enjoyed the increased time that you guys have been getting, and I thought I at least owed you a call.
Well,
John,
I
don't feel
appreciate
good about
that.
The game this coming Sunday.
Okay, tell me why.
Well, when I try to break down the different aspects of the game, I just don't see it falling in the Patriots' favor. And I'm a huge Pats fan. I tend to be a little pessimistic when I think the Patriots are going up against a pretty big challenge.
Yep.
But specifically, I think Eli Manning is going to shred up our secondary, and I think that's going to be our downfall.
So you got a score for us, Nathan?
Yeah, I think it's probably going to be about 31-24 Giants. But the one thing that I like is that nobody's really giving the Patriots a shot. And the games that I've really enjoyed the most are like when the New England Patriots came into my Sunday Night Football game and they played the Jets. I thought there was no way in hell they were going to win that game, and they dominated. Same thing last year when they played the Steelers on the Sunday Night game. I did not think they had a shot, and they did pretty well. So I really like it when their backs are pinned against the wall, but I just don't know if they have the talent to respond, especially with Bron Hurt and Andre Carter out. So maybe you could talk me off the ledge, John.
Well, here's the thing. I will be totally honest with you, Nathan. I have been waffling back and forth. I was going to hold my prediction a little bit later, but now's probably as good a time as any. I've been going back and forth. Honestly, yesterday I had the Giants. Like you, I was just too concerned with Eli Manning against the Patriots secondary and whether or not the Patriots could actually do any damage against Eli Manning, thinking that, well, you know, I realized that the Giants offensive line has been maligned a little bit, but I wasn't quite ready to be sold on it. And I'm thinking, all right, you know what, I'm leaning toward the Giants. And then today, as I mentioned earlier on the show, Nathan, I've had an unprecedented series of events happen to me that have all pointed the other direction, not the least of which, and I'm going to announce it here on Patriots Playbook for the first time, told by my soon-to-be, in fact, tomorrow is my son's 25th birthday, and he told me I'm going to be a grandfather.
Oh, congratulations.
Well, thank you. But, you know, I just thought, oh, my goodness, what an extraordinary change that's going to occur in our lives this year. And it's going to be for the positive. I know that's absolutely the case. And so I'm thinking, well, you know what? That just turned it for me right there on a dime. So for no other reason other than I know that 2012 is going to be a big year, I think that also includes a Patriots championship. I'm going to take the Pats right now. I'm going to take the Pats 26-23.
Okay. I like it, John. I appreciate it. It's weird. There's kind of an aura a little bit among New England fans, and I feel that. And I get that. But those kinds of things, they just don't really predict outcomes. I mean, those don't break up matchups. They don't determine matchups.
Yeah.
That's what I'm nervous about.
Yeah.
So, similarly, I get to watch the Super Bowl with my little girl for the first time, John.
Good idea.
Experience.
Great idea.
So I really hope my first Super Bowl with her is a good one, a memorable one. We'll get lots of pictures. But anyway, I appreciate the feedback, John.
Absolutely. Thank you, Nathan. I appreciate your taking the time. Enjoy the game with your daughter. Let's go to Kevin in Louisiana. Kevin, you're in the playbook.
Hey, how you doing? How you guys doing?
Great, Kevin. Thanks for taking the time, man, and thanks for hanging on.
It's kind of a relief to hear some, at least some kind of positive thing out of this. I've been listening to NFL Network and, watching it and ESPN. All I hear is Giants.
I know. You got to be careful with those NFL Network guys, like I said earlier, Kevin. I don't think those guys have any football knowledge at all. I think they're a bunch of blather.
But the thing about it is, I personally think this game is probably going to be a blowout, man. I think we're going to blow them out. And I think we need to blow them out just to get that, just to feel good about it. Some fact is, I don't want us to win by three anyway, because you know how Eli Manning is in fourth quarter. I want us to win at least double digits. That way, there's no chance of them winning the game at the end. So I think that'd be great. That'd be good. And all the naysayers talk about O-7. We can't bring back 2007, but. Just the naysayers say we can't beat them, and just for the whole MHK thing, right. I think it'd be great for us to just go ahead and blow them out. That's what I believe is going to happen. I think it'll probably be, 42-10 or something like that.
42-10. Please, yeah. Kevin, tell me you're not smoking that jambalaya.
No, I'm really serious. I think it'll be that. You remember, I think it was last year that they were saying that how the Jets were going to roll or whatever. And they came in town. We just completely destroyed it and just blew them out, even though it was in our house. You know, I think it's the same thing probably happened. They all was riding on the Jets saying it was going to beat us. We came in there and just destroyed them, completely destroyed them. I mean, it's going to happen again.
Right.
I think we'll come in and just blow them out, just get it over with.
Well,
that's what I say.
Well, you know what? I don't think you'd find a Patriots fan alive that wouldn't like to see that scenario, but I have a feeling, Kevin, you might be out on an island on this one.
No, I'm not on an island. I'm not on an island at all. To be honest with you, I kind of knew we was going to blow Denver out, but a lot of my friends think we was going to lose that game. But
I'm going to give you a chance then to do revisionist history here. What did you think the Denver game would be?
How do we get blow out the same way? I said like at least 40-3. I think they scored a little bit more than that.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
Serious.
All right.
We'll see.
Listen,
I think it'll be a blowout, though. I really do.
From your mouth to you-know-who's ears, you know, that's all I can tell you, baby.
Just remember, it'll be a blowout, I guarantee it.
All right, I'm going to remember Kevin said it first. Now, Kevin, please tell me your Super Bowl party is going to have some jambalaya in it.
I'm not throwing a Super Bowl party, to be honest with you. I'm going to be at home. A lot of my friends are either 49ers fans or Saints fans, so I don't think they don't want to be around me, to be honest with you. So I'll be at home with the family and kids watching the game by myself.
All right, well, at least you're honest about that. That's awesome.
All right, you guys have a nice day.
Kevin, thank you for the time. Appreciate it. All right, it's Kevin in Louisiana. All right, before we get to Russell Baxter, got to visit with our friend Kat in Chicago. Hey, Kat, how are you?
Hi, John. I'm good. How are you?
Awesome. Thanks. Thanks for calling in.
So I'm bad with numbers. I'm bad with scores. I always get it wrong. But I think the Patriots will win by a touchdown.
All right. That's fair. All right. So are you thinking lower scoring or higher scoring, Kat?
I'm thinking on the higher end. But you know, I don't know. I think my keys are I think that the offensive line is going to play really well. And so, you know, I think that that gives us an edge. And then on the other side, I think that the Giants are not going to be able to get their running game going. So, you know, I'm having faith in the defensive line, and I'm having faith in the offensive line, and I think the rest of the pieces will click if that happens.
All right. Okay. I'm buying it. Now, I know you can pick an MVP, but rather than pick an MVP, tell me where you think this game is going to swing. Tell me what's going to be the difference maker in this game one way or the other.
I think the Patriots defensive line is going to get some sort of either like a strip sack or a forced fumble or something like that. And, I think that turnover will end up being key
to the ball
game.
So I'm
hoping that the MVP is going to end up being Wilfork. Cause if that happens, we win. No question.
Okay.
You know what I mean? If someone from the D gets the MVP, then it could be a blowout, like Kevin was talking about, you know?
yeah, I do know.
You never know.
Yeah, I do know.
So, yeah, so I'm hoping.
Me too. I actually think that it's, you know, most big games, and we've talked about this throughout the entire year, in this particular game of pro football, big games are decided on other teams' mistakes. Now, it's a question of whether or not you impose your will on one team to force them into a mistake, or they're just not into it enough where they're going to commit their own mistake. But one way or the other, a mistake is going to happen. It always does. Rarely do we get a completely clean game. And by mistakes now, I'm also talking about penalties. You know, penalties in key situations. You know, when you get a first down and a holding brings it back, or, you know, you get a 45-yard pass interference penalty that sets you up in the red zone, or, I mean, there are a lot of different things going on here. But mistakes decide big ball games. And I agree with you, Kat, 110%. Somehow, some way, a mistake, whether it's a strip sack fumble, whether it's going to be a pick six, or whether it's going to be a penalty that's going to eliminate or call back a touchdown, or perhaps a big penalty that's going to make a big play and give a team a touchdown on a silver platter, that's what's going to decide this on Sunday. Totally agree with that. All right. Kat, signal drop. But thank you, Kat. I know you're listening because you're sitting right there on your phone and you're using your Patriots.com radio app and all kinds of good stuff like we have for you here. All right, going to get in a timeout here. Then we're going to come back. We're going to continue with your emails. Ton of them coming in. Thank you for those. Facebook posts as well. Phone calls on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398. He tried to say. And Pro Football Guru Russell S. Baxter coming up next in the playbook.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
Gear up for the Super Bowl at the official team store, the Patriots Pro Shop. The Patriots Pro Shop and PatriotsProShop.com have the widest selection of authentic Patriots merchandise anywhere, from jerseys and sweatshirts to hats, game day party gear, and more. The Patriots Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Or shop online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Dear business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
What do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature-y, right?
Yeah.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Visitor Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
You know, to be honest with you, I think it was just getting guys healthy. You know, and having the same guys on the field the next week that you had the previous week. You know, becoming more comfortable with each other and showing the last couple weeks.
Patriots middle linebacker Gerard Mayo. He's getting ready. Patriots getting ready. Practice getting underway in Indianapolis. Our own Russell S. Baxter, ProFootballGuru.com, joining us. Are you in Indy right now, Russell?
I certainly am. Can you hear the noise in the background?
Yeah, there's lots of people back there. Absolutely.
I'm in the middle of the Patriots huddle right now, as a matter of fact.
I like. And what are they telling you? Get the ball to the big fella?
They're telling me to get out of here because you're not in the huddle. They're telling me to get out of here and pay my check.
I like it. I like it totally. So how's the week been for you? What's the experience been like?
Well, I actually just got in today, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
You know, prepping, get ready for, you know, all the different things that involve a Super Bowl. You know that as well as anyone.
Yep.
You know, lots of things to write, lots of numbers. You know, now you get the 46 Super Bowl, so you got 45 years worth of history to have fun with. And, you know, one of my pieces on ProFootballGuru.com, as a matter of fact, deals with one of the greatest Super Bowls in history and the first rematch, which I know you know well, John, which was Super Bowl 13 between the Steelers and the Cowboys.
Right.
The first time two teams ever played each other for a second time in the Super Bowl. And you could take your pick. You could either go to Canton and see all the guys that played in the game, or you could just watch the game again because it was littered with Hall of Famers, both quarterbacks, both running backs, both head coaches, you know, owners. I mean, take your pick. That was an extraordinary game in terms of Hall of Fame players in it, you know, the defensive tackles, Randy White and Joe Green. Everywhere you turned around, it was outstanding, and it was a game that really lived up to its billing.
Well, we can only hope that this game also lives up to its billing. I think it certainly stands to reason it will, based on if we have you know, anything close to what happened back in Week 9 of the regular season. You know as well as anybody, Russell, that generally speaking, not all the time, but generally speaking, whoever loses the regular season game, they rematch in a game like this, the first loser is usually the second winner. How does that change? How does that keep from happening this time in your estimation?
Well, I think that the Giants have to continue to play the kind of football that they've been playing as of late, and that is, you know, explosive passing plays by Eli Manning, putting a lot of pressure on the other team via the pass rush. They have 20 sacks in their last five games, the Giants. We saw what they did to Brady in the Super Bowl, you know, 4 years ago. And we also saw Brady, you know, when the Patriots last played them, they turned over the ball four times, and that was two interceptions and a lost fumble by Tom Brady. So making, you know, it's the key to any game, as you know, making people uncomfortable, turning over the football. And one of my favorite numbers every year when it comes to the Super Bowl is the turnover differential in the history of the Super Bowl. It is absolutely extraordinary, John. When you think about the fact that there have been 45 Super Bowl winners, and they've combined to turn over the ball only 51 times.
Wow. Really?
Yes. Now, compare that to the opposition, 144 turnovers by the losing 45 teams. That's a plus 93.
So you're talking basically an average of right around plus two per game.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I believe, in fact, right off the top of my head, last year Green Bay didn't commit a turnover, and Pittsburgh committed three. The year before that, I think the Colts only turned over the ball once, but New Orleans didn't have a turnover.
Right.
I think, right, again, I think of the 45 teams, I think it's 16 of them didn't commit a turnover in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And then, which is even funnier, is you have to go back to Super Bowl V, what was known as the Blooper Bowl or the Blunder Bowl. The Baltimore Colts committed seven turnovers. Now, football was different back then. Turnovers were a lot more common than they are today.
Yep.
They committed seven turnovers in the win over the Dallas Cowboys at the Orange Bowl. So think about that. They had seven of the 51 turnovers. Okay? So that means what, 44 for the other 44 teams.
Okay. I like that. 44 of the other teams. All right. I think that's a great precursor. So, you know, here's the thing. I mean, we both know that these teams certainly have the ability to throw the ball on each other. Why am I kind of thinking that I'm a little nuts in considering that these teams might actually look to run the ball more than we expect them to?
Because you're not nuts, because you know football. And you know professional football. And professional football, you know, you ask a coach, I mean, with all the passing we saw, and little by one, you know, Drew Brees out of the playoffs, Aaron Rodgers out of the playoffs, Matthew Stafford out of the playoffs. You know, whoever wins this game, be it Eli or Tom Brady, they're going to have the most passing yards by a quarterback in the regular season to win the Super Bowl. They're going to blow by it, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
Eli's got 49-33, and he'll beat, it's actually his brother's record, 43-97 in 2006.
Right.
I mean, Tom Brady stands to beat it by about 900 yards. But the one thing you look at, especially with the Giants, Giants have been very vulnerable to the run this year. You know, being running backs and especially quarterbacks as well. But they have had their problems against the run all season. You know, so their defense, you know, New England's defense really kind of, a lot of the yards they gave up were via the pass. The Giants, I think, were kind of equally split, to be honest with you. The rankings might not necessarily indicate that, but you see people run on the Giants. I think San Francisco ran on them pretty well in the playoff game. I mean, the Giants give up their share of rushing yards. And New England's not adverse to, listen, you know, Bill Belichick as well as anyone. You know, it's a different game plan every week. There's always a wrinkle. And who says that Ben Jarvis Greenells can't have a big day against this team? Yeah. You know, we saw them beat the Jets up in Foxborough earlier this season by predominantly running the ball the entire, just about the entire fourth quarter.
Sure.
And held on to the ball. And, you know, when you have explosive offenses like this, the key to stopping one of them is to keeping the other one off the field. So I don't think you're nuts at all. I think you hit the nail on the head. I think we're going to see a lot more running in this game, maybe by both teams, than we're expecting.
Okay. I just want to make sure I wasn't nuts, that somebody else was thinking that too. I mean,
you might be nuts, but I don't think you're off on this game. I can't speak for the rest of you, John.
You know me all too well, Russell. You definitely know me there. All right, so we think now, at least strategically, the Patriots want to try to keep the the Giants' defense on the field where they can't sub packages in and out. It makes sense to run a little bit of no huddle, run a little bit of hurry up, but not hurry with it, if that makes sense. And at the same time, it certainly makes sense, I think, from a Giants perspective, to run the ball at New England, not only A, because they've struggled traditionally with that a little bit this year more than they have in the past, but to keep Brady and the offense off of the field and see if they can't gouge at the middle of that team, force those, you know, defensive backs and linebackers to come up and play the box a little more, and then just bang them over the top. So I think in theory, we're all, you know, we're kind of working it out here. Is there, have you been able to come up with an X factor on either side that maybe just we're somehow overlooking?
Well, I don't know if it's so much of an X factor. I think it's kind of an XL factor, and it's probably an obvious one. But Vince Wilfork has played outstanding football most of the year, and I think especially in the playoffs. He has spent a lot of time. I mean, Vince Wilfork might as well have been a running back for both Denver and Baltimore, because he has spent a lot of time. I mean, there have been a lot of second and longs, third and longs, for both the Ravens and the Broncos and the playoffs because of Vince Wilfork, for the most part. I think he's had an outstanding year. And, you know, you start throwing Ahmad Bradshaw and Brandon Jacobs for losses, and it's 2nd and 13, and it's 2nd and 14, and it's 3rd and 11. You know, that becomes a totally different game. So I don't know if, you know, you consider Vince Wilfork necessarily an X factor, because he's a Pro Bowl player.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if he continues to play the way he's played, I think that's going to make an enormous difference of what the Giants wind up doing offensively.
Okay, very good. All right, so now that we're kind of here and we're there and we've kind of, you know, sort of looked at this ad nauseum, one number that came from your own Thursday teasers today I wanted to bring up to our audience today. Only one of the team has lost four straight games during a season like the Giants have this year and bounced back to even play in the big game, much less win it. That was the 0-2 Raiders, who then went on to lose the Super Bowl to the Buccaneers. So the Giants are kind of trying to make some history this Sunday. The big question is, can they?
Well, I think they're entirely capable. And, you know, common wisdom as of late, you would think that the Giants were 13-3 and the Patriots were 9-7 from, you know, just the scuttlebutt from, I'd say, the last 2 weeks, because I think a lot of people are really flashing back to what happened 4 years ago, the Giants catching fire.
Right.
You know, they beat New England the last two times they played them, you know, shut down their 18-0 season, ended their 20-game home regular season losing streak. Seems like they almost have their number. But I have gone back and forth of this like a windshield wiper. And I think the Giants are playing outstanding football. But I also think the New England Patriots are 13-3 for a reason. And numbers-wise, you know, all the numbers this year are going to be skewed. You know, I don't know if this is a trend for the future where we see a 27th or 31st-ranked defense win the Super Bowl. And since the Patriots, when they do win Super Bowls, have, you know, a consistent pattern of winning by 3 points, I'm going Patriots 27, Giants 24.
I was going to say, please don't pick the Patriots.
listen, let me see. My playoff record carried the chest. That's right. It's 2-8. That's why I stick with facts and not predictions. That's why I tweet a lot of facts. And people have been asking me for my pick, and there it is. But, you know, there it is. we shall see. I have not had a lot of good luck in the playoffs. And so on. Although, you know, it's funny, you know, watching the games 2 weeks ago, in some ways it almost felt like Baltimore and San Francisco did win those games, but yet they didn't make plays. And that's what it's all about in the NFL. John, you know that as well as anyone.
Sure.
Okay? It's making timely plays. I think the thing that's really interesting about this game as well is the Giants have played 3 playoff games and have turned over the ball once. And the Patriots have won 2 playoff games and lost the turnover battle both times. They're they have 5 turnovers in 2 playoff games. Very unlike them. This is a team that doesn't turn over the ball usually at all. I mean, last year it was 10. This year was 17 in the regular season. So very unusual. But I could see the Patriots once again losing the turnover battle on maybe a strip sack and an interception. But I somehow think that running game, like you mentioned, is going to be a factor. And I somehow think New England prevails. But just think of this, and I think I said it to you last week. Can you imagine a team going 10-6 and missing the playoffs, and then a year later going 9-7 and winning the Super Bowl?
It's
just a crazy kind of time in the NFL right now.
It is. And I think you kind of hit on ultimately, and I picked the Patriots 26-23, so I'm with you on the field goal thing. But here's the reason that one of the reasons I did it is because I felt like this Patriot team was as resilient a team as I have seen, at least in recent memory. They don't get down about anything. They don't get down when they get behind. They don't get down when they turn the ball over. And we saw that against Baltimore 2 weeks ago. These guys don't get rattled. And I think that the Giants will not rattle them, even though the Giants may be ahead of them in the game. And I think that ultimately will be the key. And if the Patriots do lose the turnover battle, I think, you know, first of all, I think that will certainly be a bad omen. But I also don't believe, based on recent history, that it is a death knell for New England that, as you suggested, a pick six or a strip sack could end up being the difference in this game.
Yeah, you know what? When you do turn over the football like New England has done, you then have to turn around and look at what happened with the turnovers. Okay,
right.
Go back to that Saints-Lions game. Remember Detroit got 2 turnovers, I think, in the first half of that game?
Yeah.
And didn't turn them into points. They had a chance to, you know, step on the helmet of the Saints a little bit, and they never took advantage of it. And I think that cost them dearly. And, you know, the Ravens and the Broncos didn't do anything really with those turnovers. I mean, I think Denver turned the 1 into a touchdown on a drive, but you know, when you can't beat a team, even when they may not be playing their best, that you hit the nail on the head. That resiliency that they have had this year. And, you know, I think they've gotten tired of hearing how bad they are on defense.
Mm-hmm.
No one likes to be told when you do anything bad. I mean, I don't like being told that. You don't like being told that. So after a while, I think it motivates you. It fires you up. And, you know, Bill Belichick said it best. You know, it's 2-3. It's not about ranking. It's not about this. Giving up points and scoring more than they do. So, and that's what I think we're going to see. I think we'll see another exciting, typical Patriots Super Bowl 3-point win. And listen, the Giants aren't averse to playing close Super Bowls at all. I think there have been, six Super Bowls decided by 3 points or less, and the Giants and the Patriots have been involved in five of them. So
that's right. That's right. That's a great number right there. That hadn't even dawned on me until you said that. That's a good one right there. Russell,
yeah, I hope it's right. I'm pretty sure. I think I think of the Patriots' three wins, the loss in Super Bowl 42, and then for the Giants' 20-19 win over the Bills in Super Bowl 25. The only other 3-point game was the one we just mentioned about 15 minutes ago, the Colts beating the Cowboys 16-13 in Super Bowl 5.
That's absolutely correct. You are, as you always are. Russell, I have to tell you, once again this year, it's been a tremendous thrill having you on the program. You're a good friend. Your football knowledge is unparalleled, and I want you to know that I'll speak on behalf of all of our fans here inside the Patriots Playbook, but we're very grateful for your time on Thursdays during the course of the season. Hopefully that we brought you a lot of new followers, a lot of new Twitter followers for your stuff on ProFootballGuru.com, and your Twitter address at BaxFootballGuru, B-A-X, Football Guru. We'll make sure that we stay in touch with you throughout the off season. Hope that we can pick it up again next fall.
Well, I appreciate that, and during this off season, John, I have to tell you that starting next month, you'll be able to find me in the pages of the new NFL magazine.
Congratulations!
That hit the stands a couple of months ago. I'll be doing some writing for them, and it's a monthly magazine that I'm very excited about. And along with my work on the blog and Twitter as well, I hope to just keep on doing what I love to do, and that's showing my enthusiasm for football and the passion that I have for it. And when I work with people like you, it makes it very, very easy.
Well, I have to admit, you have now given me reason to go out and get NFL Magazine. How's that?
That's great. Now I can just get my family on board. They say that's about 40 people. And I'm not even kidding. So, it's something I'm really excited about. And, starting next month, you'll be able to see me in the pages of the new NFL magazine.
That's fantastic. Congratulations on that, my friend. I know we'll stay in touch during the offseason. Enjoy the Super Bowl. I don't have to tell you that because I know you will anyway, because you live, eat, breathe, and sleep football like a lot of us do around here. But we'll look forward to your coverage, and we'll look forward to catching up with you again very soon.
That must be why I have that crick in my neck. I think that's it. That's not something yet. I got to get that football out of there.
Absolutely, brother.
John, I appreciate all the kind words. I appreciate all the support. And let's have a good game on Sunday, and hopefully we'll get to talk a little free agency and draft down the road.
Absolutely. Plan on that. Thank you. All right. Talk to you soon, Russell. Russell Baxter, our own pro football guru.
That's awesome. He didn't tell me what his plug was when I spoke to him off the air.
That's his plug.
And
that's good.
That's great.
That's
good
a big
for him.
Plug.
Well,
he deserves it.
The
guy knows more about football history and trends and numbers. And I mean, this guy just oozes football. And he's been a part of this program. We've been doing this show now 11 years. And he's been a part of this program, I think, for six or seven, I want to say, of those years on basically a full-time basis. Weekly appearances throughout the course of the season. I've known Russell for almost 15 years myself, since I started working at ESPN when he was at ESPN. He's sold me. I had him on my shows on the network, and I couldn't wait to bring him to Patriots Playbook, and I'm glad he's still here. And now we'll look forward to seeing his stuff on NFL Magazine, and we'll get him back to the Playbook again for next year.
Yeah, it's unbelievable what he knows off the top of his head. You know, people who might be new to the show that are listening don't realize every single one of those numbers that he rattled off to you today, probably in his head.
From his head.
Maybe one thing written
from
down.
His head. Absolutely, from his head. You're absolutely 110% right about that.
NFL
right.
Magazine, very lucky.
Congratulations to Mr. Baxter and NFL Magazine. I'm going to be very lucky with him. I'm not sure I like his prediction, though. Just not sure I'm ready for that prediction yet. All right, let me get some predictions in here with from the emails that have been pouring in today. Mally says, I think this game, Mally in Nebraska, going to be domination by the Pats, 38-14 all Patriots. I think Gronk will be MVP, and I'm going to miss you in the off season. Well, that's nice. I'm going to miss you too, Mally. Brandon says, we were talking about Madonna early. He said it was 07 when her boob popped out. Was it 07? Janet, was 07? I thought it was earlier than that. Okay.
No, that was...
Was that 7?
07 was... That was the Rolling Stones, right?
That's what I thought.
It was 04. Pete just yelled it over to me. It was 04.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay. Brian says, the only way I could care less about the halftime show is if Madonna did something with Cher. Great halftime show would be KRS-One, maybe A Tribe Called Quest reunion, hip-hop, much less Money, 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 is 50 Cent, or Mos Def and Talib Kweli. I think it's how you pronounce it, Kweli. I think the Pats are going to catch a supremely overconfident Giants team unaware and come away with a win. I don't know the score, but it's going to be high 20s to mid 30s. He said, I would have added you on Facebook by now, but I hate Facebook and will never be part of it. Well, Brian, I can understand that, but brother, you better wake up and smell the coffee in the 21st century is all I can tell you, or you're going to get left in the dirt. It's just the way it is. My father, soon to be a great-grandfather, is on Facebook. Okay? All right. So there you go. Chris, last week I was anxious, nervous, and doubtful. This week I regained my confidence. Now I'm sort of back in the middle. Close game. Got to pick the Pats, but I really think it's a coin flip. The weight of history is no small factor, no matter what anybody says. He says Pats 31, Giants 24. Bryant says, I'm going with Uelfork to have another monster game, be the biggest MVP of all time. I like that one, too. Jordan in Athens, Georgia. All right, prediction time. Pats 31, Giants 27. Aaron Hernandez MVP. Julian Edelman makes an impact in all three phases of the game. Tom goes for 250 to 300. Two touchdowns, no picks. Defense gets a turnover or two and more pressure on Eli than expected. They might get to Brady, but not as much as 07. Quick passes, screens force Giants to turn down the pass rush and give Brady time to pick apart the less than reputable secondary. Joe says, Giants remind me of another New York team. Pats by 30. Just a little dig there, huh? William, Wild Bill in San Diego. Pats win 34-27 MVP Aaron Hernandez. Runner-up, Law Firm and Welker. P.S. Love Pats Radio, PFW Playbook, and Pete Shep. See you in the fall. Yes, you will, Wild Bill. Jeff says, first half, Giants 17-13. Second half, Pats 21-14. Final score, 34-31 Pats. Giants have the ball with under 2 minutes, but we get the turnover this time. Wes has a monster game with two touchdowns, and he's MVP. Brady spreads it around to the rest. Gronk has two great blocks to spring Benny for a couple of touchdowns rushing. Giants will score 14 second-half points in the fourth. We'll all be at the end of our seats on the last drive. I'll wager that. Nick in Miami. Giants are a great team. They'll most likely double-cover Gronk, which gives Welker and Hernandez the chance to shine. Both teams have a great defense. Our defense always gets brought down because of our somewhat bad ranking defense, but we're in the top five for turnovers in the league, so I don't doubt it and have a lot of faith in my team. As for the halftime show, I don't see how Madonna was a good choice. I would have gone with Nickelback. Nickelback?
Whoa, 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 whoa. Nickelback that got petitioned in their hometown when they performed on Thanksgiving. Did you hear about that?
Yeah.
To go back?
I like some of Nickelback's music, but I don't know if that would have been the right choice either. I just think, you know, I think they're over trying. I think they're just trying too damn hard. How about bringing back a traditional halftime and put a stinking marching band on the field? How's that for novelty?
Could you imagine halftime of the Super Bowl, though, as a marching band?
Hey, my marching band was in the halftime of the Super Bowl when it was at Rice Stadium in Houston. University of Texas Longhorn marching band, brother. So, okay, back in the 1970s, yeah, they actually did do that.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying, like, some fans would absolutely just not go for that. There are a lot of bands. You look at some of these, the smaller schools that are down in, you know, Florida, Louisiana, Georgia, all that. I've seen those bands perform, and it's more entertaining than anything you
Florida
get.
A&M, Southern, Grambling, I mean, you name it, right?
Oh, have like a battle of the bands?
That would be great.
Let's petition for it, John.
We'll
get the movement going.
Might not be a bad idea. Joshua in Taunton. Got the Super Bowl party all set. However, one last question came to my attention today that I think is interesting. Everyone's talking about things like Gronk and the Pats O-line against the Giants D-line. Both are important, but I'm going to throw you another question. If the Patriots need a field goal to win, do we have faith that our kicker will do it? Yeah. You can't ride with a guy as long as you have. You can't ultimately waste a draft choice, which, you know, and I say waste, I mean that obviously not in the truest sense of the word. you spent a draft choice on getting Steven Gostkowski. So I don't think the Patriots have any problems with him from, say, 55 on in. I think they feel like he certainly can get it done, even in a domed environment. Tony from Atlanta. I believe the Patriots will win 24-17. I like the fact the nation's media is catering to the Giants. It burns us up here in Pat's Nation, but it burns Brady up, and I believe it burns Belichick up. And I believe our defense is going to be hungry to prove not only who has the best defense, but also partly to finish off these games. As back in 07, they didn't get that last stop when it was needed. Back in November, we needed one down to win that game. The Giants are who we thought they were, and this team's good, but they have an identity crisis too often. But given them the last two games, we're done giving these New Yorkers something to talk about.
If you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
Thank you, Coach. Let's see. That one we're going to save for Pete. Let's go with Scott in Leeds, England. John, I'm being boring. I think Brady gets MVP for a four-touchdown performance as the Patriots win 34-31 with a last-minute drive to seal it with a touchdown instead of a field goal. Gronk will have two touchdowns, 80-plus yards. Welker, uncoverable. Hernandez, a big rushing play. Let them talk. I say, haters going to hate. When was the last time Brady's Patriots lost a game when we were disrespected beforehand? Good point. John,
I don't want to be a contrarian, but just last year when we played other New York team in the playoffs.
And we lost, though.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
He asked when the last time we were disrespected.
Nobody asked you to be a contrarian, okay? So just, you know, put that in your pipe and smoke it. You're a good sport, Matt. Takes a lot of pummeling from Pete and I around here. All right, here we go. John in South Carolina. Last game was 24-20. During the game, we threw two picks, lost two fumbles, gave up a huge defensive pass interference in the end zone to lose the game. New York will throw the ball better, I believe. This will get them one touchdown more. However, we will not turn the ball over four times and assault someone in the end zone. So they're going to score 10 less points. And he says, 24 plus 7 minus 10 equals 21. That's what he thinks the Giants will do. He says the Patriots' formula will be Gostkowski will not miss a field goal. Our offense will not stall in the red zone three times. Points to the offense, 20 plus 3 plus 4 equals 27. You know, this stuff makes my head hurt. No offense, John. Patriots win 27-21. Gabe says Patriots 27, Giants 23. John, I'm a Pats fan since I saw my first game in 72 when I was 6 and living in Plymouth. And I would never, never pick another team against the Pats in the Super Bowl. Hey, we were 14-point dogs in Super Bowl 36. 14 points! Come on, man! Did you forget that? You call yourselves fans and say the other team is going to win? You must be clowns because you're making me laugh. This team is determined to win. I'm a Pats fan through and through. Yes, both teams are tough and it will be close, but our players are digging deep for Mrs. Kraft. Don't forget that. Brian in Longview, Texas. My prediction, Pats win, of course, 23-20. I see this ending up like Super Bowl 36 when they played the Rams and Brady drives the Pats down the field to set up Gostkowski for the game to kick the winning field goal. The MVP, Brady, once again. A couple of more here. Let's see, Luca. John, I was hoping that we would face the 49ers and their pathetic offense, not the Giants. Now that we do face the Giants, I think we don't have a great chance. I predict Giants 27-21. What do you think, John? Who has more pressure on his shoulders, Brady or Manning, in terms of their legacy? Brady's legacy set. He's going to the Hall of Fame. Manning isn't in yet. Brady is. Let's see. Thank you, Brian, for the congratulations. Let's see. Todd. Congrats, Grampy. can't believe your son's 25. Remember him on the show when he was a little kid. It's true. I did have the original rookie on the show when he was a teen, back when we first launched this show 11 years ago.
Another rookie on the way, though, huh?
Yeah. Well, we've got two rookies in the house. And now the original rookie's 25, and that's what's going to make me a grandpa. So, I know. Shocking, isn't it?
So maybe the next generation is the baby rookies?
Oh, God. Do we really have to hand it down? I don't want these kids in this rat race. No, go away. Run away. That's what I've told the little rookie now. I said, uh-uh, you're not doing this. He loves it, but he's not going to do it.
Baby Rook. Sounds like a candy bar.
Baby Rook. That's right. I'm going to have to come up with something sweet for that, Pete. Sterling. John.
Congratulations, bud. That's awesome.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's awesome.
John, remember a few weeks ago I wrote in and said I had a queasy feeling in my stomach that the Giants and New England would meet again. How you like me now? Oh, how you like me now, brother. Okay. Anyways, for Tom Brady and Belichick, a close game is not acceptable. They must wipe the floor with Eli, Victor Cruz, and Cinnamon Roll. I like that. That's pretty funny. Let me get a squeeze a couple of more in here. Rook, first time writing in, love the show. I'm not appreciating the media blowing Brady's comments at the Pat send-off. As Brady said, hopefully we'll see you all here for a celebration. Correct me if I'm wrong, but doesn't hopefully mean maybe? Brady was in no way making a guarantee. ESPN is incredibly annoying to watch right now. I'm sick and tired of the Giants love fest. I hope the Pats bury these guys. Chris, John, 2003 was J.J. and Timberlake. 2004 was McCartney. 07 was Tom Petty. Thank you for straightening all that out. Also, I'm thinking about a long shot bet, even though he wrote long bleep bet. Edelman to get a pick six and a punt return for a touchdown. Not likely, but I figure why not. That's Chris in West Yorkshire, U.K. Let's see. Brian says, how about a halftime show with a big band Marine Corps set up? That'd be sweet. Telling you, bring back a marching band. Sometimes we go back to the future here. Let's bring back a little old school. Let's do it upright.
Want to hear a funny story about Nipplegate or Janet Jackson's, you know,
yeah,
the malfunction, the wardrobe malfunction?
Yeah.
So you know how they stick the media in the Super Bowl. Most 99% of the media is, it's not great seats, but, you know, it's not. I'm not complaining because there are a million people that would love to be there anyway. But they stick you up in basically the 300 picture Gillette, the 300 section, usually deep in the corner for the most part. That's where 90% of the media is.
Mm-hmm.
So where my particular seat was, directly, you know, 4 feet maybe from you, who came in right in the middle of the first quarter, believe it or not, was Frosty the Old Curmudgeon, and God rest his soul, was Andy Rooney, who sat right, basically right where you are right now next to me, in front of me. And I will never forget his expression, because at halftime, you know, you just stand there, you listen to the music, and we were so far away. But every one of us, or the people in front of us, starting with Andy Rooney's row, they all had monitors in front of them, all the way down about 20 rows. I mean, we don't need them. We're radio people, so we didn't need a monitor. And I didn't care. But we just happened to be watching it because we were so far away from the stage. You really had to, if you didn't watch the Jumbotron there or watch your monitor, you weren't going to see anything. So it all goes down. You know, and I'm listening to his conversation, and you know, I always enjoyed him on 60 Minutes, but he's kind of a miserable. He was kind of a miserable old fart.
Yes,
at that
true.
Time.
That's very true.
You know, and I'm listening to have. He's having this conversation with this other person. I forget who it was, and I happened just to not eavesdropping. I was just right there, and Janet has her wardrobe malfunction.
Right.
And Andy, I'm paraphrasing. Andy says something like, "Well, that'll be interesting on the news tonight." I'll never forget it.
Kind of understated.
But I'm like, of all people in the when this happened, is Andy Rooney sitting in front of me at the Super Bowl at the in the press area?
I remember watching it. I was at a friend's house for a Super Bowl party, and as we were watching it, we all stood there in stunned silence and said, "Did I just see what I think I saw?"
See, we had, you know, I was leaning over, kind of looking in, and I mean, you really had to be close on a TV monitor to see it. And I think on a big screen, you kind of had a big screen to really get a view of it. You know, it was just funny. His reaction was funny. And I don't think anybody really, a lot of people didn't realize it until after
it was over. Like,
yeah.
Wow, she really did.
Like, there was a buzz in the third quarter because a lot of media people are getting up in halftime and, you know, not really paying attention, walking around. So everybody came back and the buzz started. Did you see Janet's nipple? Did you see, you know, it's just crazy. But I never thought it would get that blown out of proportion.
No. But it did, and here we are still talking about it almost 10 years later. So.
Well, the only reason I talk about it is because Andy Rooney was sitting in front of me, and it was just funny. I said, Jesus,
that'll be interesting on the news tonight.
Never notice when a nipple pops out during a Super Bowl halftime show?
God rest his soul.
I did. Yeah.
God rest his soul. Yes. Andy Rooney was one of the good ones.
He was.
All right, Petey, so what do you think? What's coming up today? And you probably don't want to share your pick, but I think we all know what it's going to be anyway.
No, well, I mean, I can share it now if you want. I was going to wait till the end of the show, but why wait? I mean, I've been going back and forth. I tell you, I almost changed it today to a double-digit Patriot win. I almost did, but I'm going to go with my first instinct. And after breaking everything down, after listening to the ridiculous BS all week on ESPN and NFL Network.
NFL Network especially.
And a lot of it's ESPN, too. A lot of it. And it's just, it amazes me how, and I've had arguments with people, discussions with some who think it's about ratings, the Patriots hate, and all that stuff, what they do. I still, only today did Heath Evans, and I think Deion Sanders actually, both of them today, finally actually brought up the Patriots front four and what they have done lately. And what I don't understand is if you want to talk about the Giants' resurgence defense, fine. Because that was a 29th rank. You talk about the Patriots 31. Okay, fine. We grant you that. The Giants were 29th, and they were last, and they were 19th or 20th against the run. The Patriots had a better rush defense. I don't know where all this dominating talk is coming from. I really don't get it. If you're going to give the Giants praises, which they deserve a lot of it. I understand that. All I'm asking for, and I'm not asking for praises for the Patriots. I'm not asking for pick the Patriots. I'm asking for fair analysis. You're going to analyze the Giants front seven. You better do the same thing for the Patriots. They have been very good over the last few weeks. I mean, they really have. If you're not, and especially since Spikes and Chung came back and the pressure they've been getting. And I mean, did you see one highlight of them sacking Flacco? Not one.
No.
Not one. That was with a three-man rush. They were getting pressure. Do you think you think Baltimore's defense is better than the Giants overall? I do.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I would agree with that.
So if we go with that a little bit, and Brady had, for him, a subpar game, it's not as bad as he claims it is, and a lot of other people who think it was so sucky and awful because he said so, really need to go back and watch the game because he did make a lot of very, very good throws in some clutch situations. For him, awful game because it's him. But the fact that the Patriots went up against arguably the best defense in the NFL, where your top quarterback didn't have his best game, not by a long shot, and they still made plays, a lot of them on defense, to stay within that game, and they beat them. Why should I fear? I respect the Giants. Why should I, as a Patriot fan or as anyone who watches football, why should I sit here and be afraid of the Giants? Because they beat Green Bay because the Packers dropped six balls? Because they fumbled three times and lost three of them? I mean, because Kyle Williams fumbled two punts? And look, you make your own breaks. I'm not saying the Giants don't deserve to be there because they absolutely do, and I respect the hell out of them. I've already said I think Eli's now a great quarterback. I think he's in the top five. I think he and Ben Roethlisberger are right there. But why no analysis at all about the Patriots front seven and what they have done over the last month? And no one's talked about the Giants' 29th-ranked pass defense. That stat has not come up once during the regular season, and I don't blame it shouldn't right now because it's not the same as it was back then.
Right.
Nor is the game on November 9th. It's crazy. Trust me when I tell you, there have been some mentions of the November 9th game this year in the national media. If the Patriots won that game, it would have been just like Baltimore. They wouldn't even have talked about it. And it's been mentioned very little. You know, it's been all 2007.
Right.
And you still have all these analysts saying that they think this Giants front four is better than it was in 2007. I'm not buying it. I'm sorry, I'm not. The offensive line of the Patriots is the best in the NFL. They have gone up against some of the best pass defense rushers all year long, done a pretty good job, including the AFC Championship game in Baltimore. Why can't they do it again? I know they're going to do it again. And I've said the one stat I will tell you that no one would ever predict, probably except me, after looking at it, I'm telling you right now, I swear to God, Eli's going to be on his back more than Tom Brady. He will get sacked more in this game than Tom Brady will. Mark my words, it's going to happen.
Okay.
It's going to happen.
Pete
Shepard
says
so. Nobody's talking about it. I don't understand it. If you've seen the way this front seven has been playing and the push they are getting, and a lot of times, like I said, with three-man rush, they're going to get it done. I'm not saying Brady's not going to get sacked. I'm not saying the Giants will get to him a couple of times. They may not. Baltimore got to him once.
Right.
Denver didn't get to him at all.
Right.
And Von Miller got to him once in the regular season game. But think about all the great pass rushers the Patriots have gone up against this year.
Mm-hmm.
Despite what you might think of the teams and they've played, they've gone up against some pretty good defenses and pretty good individuals, some all pros. So, trust me, I think the Giants, and they're mouthing off, they are shooting themselves in the foot. I think it's a little bit over the top now. It was tolerable the first couple of days. Now I think they are getting into very, very dangerous territory because you know, John, and I've seen it so many times, when you start mouthing off, the team that usually is doing it to the Patriots gets beat badly. It's not usually by a touchdown. It's usually by double digits. But that being said, I'll say Patriots 34-28.
34-28? That's a little closer than I expected, Pete.
Well, I said all week long it was going to be a one-score game. I thought it would be a one-score game either way. And I think the Giants are going to make plays in this game. There's no question. But I think the Patriots' running game has not been talked about one iota this week. Not at all. And all of a sudden, Bradshaw and Jacobs, the last ranked team in the NFL rushing the ball this year, and the Patriots still having, you know, better yards rushing the ball in the postseason than they have, and we're a better rushing team this year. I don't know how all of a sudden Bradshaw and Jacobs became Larry Zonka and Gale Sayers, but somehow that's happened. The Patriots have done a great job in stopping the run for the most part all year long. I think the Patriots have a clear-cut advantage with their offensive line and the running game.
Okay.
And I just think their defensive line has come, the front seven right now, today, is completely underrated. And I think Eli is going to be in for some trouble. He'll make plays, but I think he's going to be in for some trouble.
That, ladies and gentlemen, is the Pete Shepherd Show
yep.
for today.
And Steve Weiss from NFL.com
okay.
Will join me at 4:20 as well.
Good. All right, so Pete's coming up momentarily. Well, I have just a couple of moments.
Madonna press conference, too. Look,
yes.
Some snippets.
Yes. We watched it. And you're going to play some snippets?
Play some snippets.
All right, great. Yeah. We also have, because I wanted this last show to be mostly about you guys, because you guys are, you know, you're the reason we're here. We're here because Patriots fans want to know about the New England Patriots. And we're very happy to do that for you here. And for those of you who are fans of other teams that have sampled our programming, that have been here on and off perhaps throughout the course of the NFL season, especially Giants fans who I know have been here on and off throughout the season, especially before the Patriots have played the Giants, we're here for you too. This is all about certainly covering the Patriots, but it's also talking about the stories that make the sport of pro football as great as it is and as much fun to be a part of as it really is, not only from a fan perspective, but a media perspective, team perspective, what have you. So that's why we're here. We're glad to do it. I was going to bring some interviews to you from Indianapolis. We have those. If Pete wants to use those, we have them. But frankly, I wanted this to be about you guys today because we've been just inundated with phone calls and emails and Facebook posts today. And I wanted you guys to have the time because you have been the loyal listeners and the loyal followers. And I'm grateful. It's been a lot of fun. I got to tell you, you know, we'll do a wrap-up show at some point next week. I don't know what day. So make sure you stay tuned to the website, Patriots.com right here, and make sure you come visit me on the Facebook page, John Rook, R-O-O-K-E. If you haven't submitted the friend request, do it. Stay tuned because I will let you know there when we'll do the wrap-up show next week, hopefully celebrating a fourth Super Bowl championship in team history.
Let's do it from the parade on Tuesday, hopefully.
Could hopefully do that as well. So that's all upcoming next week. But while I have a moment, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being great fans, for being listeners, for being contributors, and for just being there. Pete Shepherd Show is coming up next. Enjoy the game. Come on,
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
Pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski,
Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook.
Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf,
CBS analyst. Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2.